Hi there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to become fragmented to focused and find your client in the next 90 days. And we're going to do that with Christine Campbell-Rapin. She's a dynamic business advisor, a mentor, and an international speaker who's helped over 400 companies generate more than $18 million in revenue. Christine's a three-time best-selling author and podcast host. She simplifies success through strategic marketing, client acquisition, and scalable infrastructure. Christine's workshops and podcasts amplify your marketing message, equip business owners to grow with clarity and impact. I can't wait for you to meet Christine, so let's jump in. Hi, Christine. I'm so glad that you're on the show. We're going to have fun talking about how to get focused, and I know that that's one of your superpowers, so I really appreciate you being a guest on the show.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to dial it in heavy and hard. Let's get it fixed and focus.
Dial it in. Focus. Laser focus. It's something that I always have a struggle with. And that's, I think, you know, we teach what we most need to learn, which is why I'm now a professional organizer. I can organize my own brain. So talk to me a little bit about your backstory. How did you get, I mean, you work with big corporations and you help them scale. How did that all come about?
Yeah, I'm a corporate runaway. I've spent a lot of time in my previously life in the world of corporate working with some very, very big companies. And I have been everything in startup to the biggest companies on the planet. And what I learned was how to connect the dots. I started my early career in marketing, and then I got kicked out of marketing camp because I kept saying it has to be more than pretty. I still tell a lot of marketers that today. It's a given. Do something more than that. And then I found myself in sales, and I could cast a vision. I could see somebody receive it, and then we would start to run. And then I'd stumble, or we'd stumble as an organization, and I would look at the operations team, and they're like, well, I don't even know what's happening. And I found myself in ops. And so when I look back now, I said, you know, I was learning to help entrepreneurs, because many people get the marketing and think if they just solve that, they'll have a business, and it doesn't happen. And then think if I just get my head around sales, I'll have a business. And they didn't. And then they get around the operations, and sometimes they like to build the operations before they have anything to do with sales and marketing. And I help people figure out what to do when and how to turn on what I call an engine so that you create real predictability. Because what big business teaches small business is that you shouldn't be on fire every single day.
Hallelujah.
truly. I'm like, I don't know why you constantly want to set yourself on fire. You know, I joke to people all the time. I said, Coca-Cola still sells Coca-Cola. They introduce new products simply to sell more Coca-Cola. Guys, stop trying to reinvent the wheel every other season.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think as entrepreneurs, we're creators. So we love to create. And that's where we can go off the rails for sure.
Can be. I have a lot of creative clients, a lot of marketing agencies, video production podcasters come into my world because they're concerned that if they have structure, they will stop being creative and it will be stifling. And I said, actually, basic structure allows you to have a lot of white space. And I wrote a love letter in a podcast of my own on Amplifier Marketing Message that was, stop creating, go sell what you created. And my client phoned me about an hour after release. She's like, was that meant for me? And I'm like, did it land? She said, yes. And I said, take the advice.
Right.
You've got a great product, but if you don't sell it, you don't have the great impact that I know it's designed to create. So it's always a mix, but truthfully, creativity is part of it, but iteration is more important than throwing the baby out with the bathwater and starting over.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if someone wants to really focus on what they've created, what's the first step, do you believe, that an entrepreneur would take? Because we're talking here to female entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Well, I think the thing you need to hear, and it's a bit of a tough one to swallow, so take a deep breath. I'm going to land you hard here. You've got to recognize that the idea is the easy bit of business. And for people who are starting out in business, I need you to think about if you have an idea for a product or a service, you need to be really clear what's the solution it solves. Because people don't buy the idea, they buy the outcome. And too often I see people, especially the female entrepreneurs, go into this, I'll build it and they'll come philosophy, and they build websites and logos and get all these tools and things happening. I'm like, but who's the buyer for this? And they're like, well, everybody needs this. And I'm like, that's not a somebody, that's an everybody. And I think what's really important is you've got to be able to articulate in 10 words or less, what's the problem you're solving? Because if people aren't clear on the outcome, money doesn't follow.
Exactly. And it's more fun to create systems than to do and to go into that part.
It is. This is the hard bit. And I will tell you, it's hard when you start, and it is when you're in momentum. And I have clients that have been in business 5 or 8 years and come and hire me, and they say, how come I don't have this in place? Like, I can't believe I don't have this in place. And I'm like, you have done a lot of grit and a lot of hustle and a lot of spaghetti and trial and error, but you're exhausted. And part of the reason you're exhausted is because this isn't nailed down. And once it is, it just creates ease, not effortless ease. And that's a lot more fun to play in.
That's so funny. One of my clients says, you really helped me organize my noodles.
It's true. It's a great compliment.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's great though. Whenever you said spaghetti, I thought about that instantly. I'm like, that's what it is. I mean, as an entrepreneur, typically our business is a bowl of noodles, you know, and they're not really linear, especially after we boil them.
Well, and they're not linear. And they said there's patterns, but there's not one structure. And I think that's also where emerging entrepreneurs have just gotten a total bad rap by the last 5 years in the social media land, because they've taught you that it is completely linear, that if you just do this three-step formula, if you just do A, B, and C, if you just do it my way, you're the problem, not me. And I've worked with 400 companies. I said everything from mom and pops, freelancers, to the big, big, big guys. And what I will tell you is no two businesses do it the same, but there are five foundations. And that's when the noodles can be all mixed up, but you've got to understand the sequence. You've got to choose your sequence, and you've got to then play your own game.
I love that. I love that. That's important. And that helps the creatives realize that they can do their own thing. There's no one way to do it, but there is a sequence.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
And you have to solve the problem you're in front of. And that's sometimes really hard too, because so many people plan to plan to plan. And I'm like, well, that's sitting on the sidelines. That's hiding behavior. And they're like, but what if I got wrong? I'm like, everything is feedback. Everything. And you can't move from where you are to where you want to be without a feedback loop.
Yeah.
Live
and
experience
you're going to have, trial and error. Absolutely. The question is, what do you do with it, right?
100%. And, you know, I have a great mentor who says to me, and says to me often, 80% of my ideas fail. You only hear about the 20 that win. But I fail every day, and it's true. And it is about first attempt in learning. It is about that feedback loop and truly sitting with yourself and say, does it feel like oxygen? And I think I want to invite everybody here listening to say, if your business doesn't feel like oxygen, check in. This is your business. You get to do it your way. Yes, there's foundations and yes, there's sequences, but your whole freedom path to, I want to do it my way, is important. Did you lose that along the way?
All the time, you know, because you end up getting suffocated. Like you said, I like the oxygen metaphor. So you feel like you're drowning in your own business and you've lost your whole way. You know, you're not even going where you're not doing what you thought you wanted to do when you started the business. So that's why people that do what you do are so very important as a way shower. So, okay. So they've identified the problem. And they know what their solution is that they're offering, their specific solution. And what's the next step?
I think what's really important is movement. And I think sometimes we are completely impatient and we want to go from marriage and to, you know, on our first date, but you've got to recognize that people have a lot of data. They have a lot of noise, and we have to have a plan that invites people to move. And moves them from curious to paid client. And sometimes that's completely missed. I'm not talking about, what your marketing's tactic is. I don't care if you want to build on social media, you want to be a speaker, you want a podcast, you want to run Facebook ads. I don't care what your tactic is, but the intent of every tactic you've ever heard about is movement. And I think we have to slow down enough to say, have I thought through how I will invite people to explore? Because when somebody has a problem they know about, they're seeking a solution and they want to be explorers of the solutions in the marketplace. And they're deciding, am I in the right room? They're deciding, do you know what you're actually doing? They're deciding, are you a person I feel safe with? And they're asking, does it work? More importantly, will it work for me? And that's all about those micro buy-ins. And many, many businesses just never think this through. And when I say it, they go, this is really obvious. I said, yeah, but what, where's the steps in your own business? And they're like, well, I want them to go on a sales call. And I'm like, they don't even know what they're there for yet. And so I think there's importance that we have a strategy. What makes us our true north? Like, what's our opinion, our values, and our fundamentals? What result do we stand for? Where do we want to play? How do we want to play there? Why will we win there? And those are pieces that you have to really have answers to, because if you don't, your audience can feel the gap and it breaks down trust. And people don't want to spend money if they don't feel safe and trustworthy with the other person at the table. So I think you have to have an intentional strategy that moves people along. And movement is the key to building momentum. And I think the coolest thing, if I look back on my last year, and I was just meeting with so many clients over the holidays, having, celebration lunches and getting together and really toasting their progress. Everyone's like, this is what momentum feels like. I don't think I've ever had it. And I'm like, isn't it awesome? And they're like, yes. And key to momentum is actually those incremental movements.
Now, explain micro buy-ins for those who are not familiar with what that is or how you even get that. What's the
Yes, happily do that. Thank you for asking. So this is the science bit for all my geeks in science and physics. An object in motion stays in motion more easily than it does not. So the key of a micro buy-in is that we are biologically wired. If we say yes to five things, a good high probability of more than 80% will say yes again. So every invitation isn't buy my stuff. That's, of course, the ultimate buy-in if you're a revenue-generating business that's commercial. But it's an invitation to explore. It could be to engage in a social media post. It could be to engage in a resource. It could be come to an event. It could be have a conversation. Is do you have an agreement with this opinion? But you want to stack these micro buy-ins and all these mini invitations, which is what I call get your ask on, invite people to do something. And those that move are more likely your people. And the goal is for every question you ask, that the crowd thins out. Don't get scared. That's the goal. So that by the time that this small collective group of people are still saying yes, when you're ready to say, would you like me to make a recommendation to create the result you want? Their answer is going to be what? Yes, I'd like to hear it. And at that point, you're in a really good position to make an offer and ask them, if I make you an offer, will you make a decision?
Love it.
Want to
Love,
make a
love, love,
decision?
love.
We'll talk
So
about
the takeaway is you get them to do five yeses, and then you've got 80% chance that they're going to do what you would love them to do and what you
correct.
think them do.
And your people, anybody else who didn't say yes along the way, isn't your people, so you stop wasting time with the tire kickers.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it because not, the world's your oyster, and not everybody wants what you are eating or whatever.
100% true.
Not even
Not
really
everyone wants spaghetti.
they don't like oysters, then maybe they should go somewhere where they can eat turkey.
100% true.
Love it, love it. So talk to me about a period in your life as you, how long ago did you launch the service? You left corporate. What happened and what was a big struggle that you had to overcome when you were launching?
Well, the first piece is I didn't have this clear cut and break. So there's a lot of narrative around there of, burn the boat, quit your job before you have revenue. I don't advocate that. So I actually ran my business. My current business, my global consulting business I run today, is in its fifth year. And for the first several years, I ran this alongside my corporate life.
Ah,
So one
okay.
of the big commitments I had when I first started this was I would build my business an hour a day. And that meant not always 60 minutes in sequence. Sometimes it was 10 minutes before a conference call at work or when I was traveling or in a lineup at the grocery store. Like I was just disciplined around the 1 hour. And that 1 hour is really important. It actually is a huge part of how I train in my programming because I said, if you can commit to 1 hour, you can decide to add more. But if you can't do 1 hour, quit the field, you won't build any revenue. And it's about staying in that movement piece again. And so I built my business around my corporate life for years. And the big challenge was recognizing and buying into, I have a capacity problem. So as my business grew, I started to have the challenge of how do I keep that 1 hour of building while I'm delivering clients and still working full-time job and looking after my health and being a mom and being a wife and being a daughter and doing all those things. And I knew I needed to give something up. It was never going to be my business because my business was the oxygen in a way that my corporate role no longer was. And yet it took me a year longer than it should have to quit my job. And I lived in that pressure cooker I created where I was constantly juggling this. And everyone around me is like, this is crazy. You should just quit. You will fill the revenue. And I'm like, but I'm walking away from a really big salary. And I had to trust myself that the wings had already been built. He said, looking back in hindsight, I waited a year longer than I should have.
1 hour a day to build the business. So side hustle ladies, all you up there listening, it is possible.
It
I
is
mean, look
possible.
at what Christina has done. So that's pretty darn impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, that means that
It's
your
actually how I
1 hour a
got
day.
started. Because
I'm
everyone
sorry.
kept saying to me, what are you doing 1 hour a day? I'm working 60 hours a week. I still don't have clients. I'm like, well, what the hell are you doing? They're like, I'm building websites and I'm learning to cut YouTube videos and I'm learning to be a content creator and I'm doing all these things. And I'm like, how about you do the two things that matter? And they're like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm saying, here's
How about
the
making
two things
money?
that work. Go do that.
Yeah, how about making money? You know, that's
How
something.
about finding strangers and making offers? And they're like, could I do anything else but that? Because I don't want to make friends with strangers and I don't want to make an offer. And I'd say, all great kindness, you should quit the field because that's what business requires.
Yeah, no matter what business it
No
is.
matter what business.
Yeah,
And then they
that's.
go, okay, I got my head around it. I need help. And I'm like, okay, we'll get help. And they're like, I'll pay you. And I'm like, that's weird. And that was my response for at least a year. And then eventually a friend of mine said, stop it. You've got skills that people need and they want to pay you and you could really help. Go serve. And I had to be open-minded enough to say, okay. And that's how it actually started. I fell my way into my first client who's like, I'm not asking general questions. I want to give you a credit card. How much does it cost? I'm like, for what? And they're like, to help me figure out who a buyer is and tell me how to figure out how to move them and how to actually ask for a sale and how to do that more than once every quarter. And I was like, oh, I could help you do that. They're like, I know. How much does it cost? I was like,
Right. And you're like, I'm already working 60 hours. What are you talking about? I don't have any more hours.
well, and I thought to myself, well, this is the number. She's like, great, here's my credit card. And then I left the room and I joked to my husband, I'm like, I've got a credit card I don't know how to process. He's like, we'll solve the problem and figure that out. And that's really, truly what, if I could give you any advice for what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur, and success is by how you define it, not by how anybody else does, it is this: it's a commitment to being a problem solver.
I love that. And
Just
what
face the
problem
problem
are you
right
going to
then.
solve, and why are you uniquely solving it for those people? Yeah.
Correct. Simple. Goes back to the basics.
And
Always, always,
people who have
always.
that problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basic 101. But you know what? We forget this. When we get enmeshed in our business takes on its own life. And like you say, sometimes suffocates us, is not our oxygen because I always called it stuck in the muck of your stuff. Right? You're just stuck and you can't see clearly what you're shouldn't be doing. Actually, I
You
think
cannot see your own ears. And when you're in free fall of it's not working, and I'm overwhelmed and imposter syndrome and all the things that stir and confront you as a business owner, the biggest challenge is you cannot see your own ears. And what I think is important is you decide, do you want to solve this? And here it's especially for the ladies, take a hint from the men who are like, I don't know what to do, so I'll hire somebody to guide me. They're not going to do the work for you. And let's be clear, you're not hiring somebody to do the work. You can't outsource it until you understand it. But there's a path. It's trodden. Follow the path. You don't have to be the trailblazer right from day one. You'll trailblaze your own way with your own style, with your own frameworks. But you've got to understand the fundamentals of business. And I
Yeah.
was very lucky when I was building 1 hour a day. I had 2 degrees in the world of business and 25 years of business experience. In
Right.
revenue generating roles, I had a huge leg up the most. And I
Yeah.
still get in my way. I still don't do the simple things. And that's why, because I can't see my own ears, I hire somebody to say, pay attention, go down, do the
Right.
work. Right.
Right.
Here's the check.
Masters.
Thank you for
Masters
reminding me.
hire masters. Masters hire masters. We all hire other people to see what we do not see right in front of our face. And
Correct.
that's the, if there's any takeaway from this podcast, I think that's the biggest thing. You can't do it alone. You have to have an objective observer helping you see what you cannot see. So, yeah, for
And
sure.
you've got to realize, what will you be like if you keep going at the pace you're on? Because busy leads to broke, broke leads to burnout, and that's a path you're already on. All of us are, because we overestimate what we can do in a short term and we underestimate the long-term impact. And when I hired my first mentor, I had one client. I hired them for 2 years from my first contract. And this was why I actually had, I said, business skills. So I give myself a huge leg on that than most. But what I realized was I would be unrecognizable continuing to work my corporate job, continuing to do this at the space. It would take me 5 years to get to where I could quit my corporate job. And I thought, I'll be unrecognizable in 5 years. And I had a new marriage and some bonus kids that were, young teenagers. And I'm like, that's not fair on them. And if I'm going to do this, I have to bet on myself and I have to get there faster with help. And it was scary. 6 months of it, I funded it from my corporate job. But by 6 months, I was making enough revenue to pay for the coach, and then I never looked back.
Excellent, excellent, good one. So, if you could tell your 18-year-old girl self some advice, if you give her a little piece, what would you tell her now? Now that you know what you know, what you know.
I would say this: every grenade you stood on helped you build skills that would be valued at this stage.
Ooh, that's a good
You know,
one.
we had lots of resets, lots of who am I, lots of how will I sell myself, lots of what the hell, I didn't expect this. But when I had my friend Kellen say to me, people want to pay you to help them because you've stood on those grenades, because you have the knives in your back, because unlike a lot of other business coaches that have never lived in the world of business, I have lived all of it. I've got all the scars. And I know this also right now because I would have what I said to my 18-year-old. Trust yourself to blow yourself up and trust yourself to put yourself back together. And now when I look at a grenade, I'm like, half the time I'm like, well, I didn't see that coming. And other times I'm like, I can't wait to jump on it. And I trust myself.
Yourself to stand on a grid to jump onto a grenade. That's fantastic. Well, because you're going to anyhow. So
Yes. And I
it
trust myself.
very
At 18, I think, ignorance is bliss, but I would say to her now, like, trust everything has a reason. And, I say to my young daughters who are, starting their careers now, I said, I didn't start at the top.
clear. No one does, really.
So guys, you're gonna have jobs you don't like, you're gonna have bosses you don't like, you're gonna think that you're doing more work than you needed. I said, but it's building muscles, and those muscles will have value and more value than you can imagine. What your value is not what somebody will pay you in corporate, it's what you do when you write your own check at a zero.
Well, that leads us into your valuable free resource because I know you have one that you're going to offer the people that are listening and watching.
I do. I think what's so important is that you get into the right rooms. And so many people say, if I was just in front of the right audience, I could build a business, but they don't really know what's working right now. So I have a resource. It is 25 ways right now. I know rooms are moving. People, places that you can connect to. I do not want you doing 25 things. I want you to read this and go, that's the one I can get behind, and I can get behind it for the next 5 years so that you can build the skills in a lane that feels like oxygen. And then I want you to do the work. I want you to focus on strangers, and I want you to focus on actually making the asks. I want you to track it. So I'm going to give you a tracker to help you do that. And I will tell you, we all have zeros, but if you stay at zero, you have zero revenue.
Well said. So go ahead and download the resource and do the work, right? Don't just download the resource, do the work. And what's your challenge? So how many strangers should they talk to after they download this in the first, I don't know, a few days. What do you think?
I think that you need to be committed to meeting at least 2 people a day.
Okay.
2 people a day, 10 people a week, that's 40 people a month. Of those people, you might find, 10 people that you want to have a further conversation with. That might lead to five people that you make an offer, one or two people that say yes, and you're like, but one offer is not enough. And I'm like, then do the math.
Right.
You've got to up the volume. But right now, most people don't meet two people a day. Most people hide behind their keyboards. And I'm inviting you right now. People need the solution, and there's somebody buying today. If they're not buying from you, I'm inviting you to maybe rethink, find some courage, and just be messy.
Love it. Love, love, love. Thank you, Christine. This has been
Yes, welcome.
wonderful. I know that you folks are going to take action. I know you're motivated now, so go ahead and hit it, click, download it, take it, and take some action right away. That's what this podcast is all designed for you to do. And Christine knows what she's talking about. So take
Take
advice. Turn your
it to the bank
bullets
and go
into
find
action.
your next client.
Yes, go find your next client. That is your goal for this week, okay? This week, find your next client, or at least talk to two people a day to figure it out. So
Love.
thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show.
My
And as
pleasure.
usual, you're wonderful to talk to. And I learn every time I speak with you, I learn something new. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
You do.
Until next week, you guys, if you like this, if you felt motivated, inspired, please give it a thumbs up. Please give it a review. Very much appreciated. If you know someone who really needs what we just talked about, forward it over to them. Would appreciate the help promoting the podcast and promoting Christine. And until next week, we'll talk to you then. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.